So he went as a messenger and ambassador on behalf of the people, on behalf of the idolaters of Makkah. He spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then went back. And he conveyed whatever he had to convey to the people of Makkah. And remember, he was still a polytheist, still a non-believer. But he said to the people of Makkah, he said, "Do you know what kind of man you are facing?" He said, "Bear testimony. I have been as an ambassador to the opulent and powerful courts of Rome. I have visited the Persian emperor in his palace. And I have also visited the courts of Abyssinia. But by Allah, I have never seen any group of men love, respect and revere their leader as I have seen the companions of Muhammad revere him." When he speaks, there is total silence, so the people may hear and catch on to his words. When he spits, they rush forward to catch his spit so that with it they may anoint their faces. When he performs an ablution, they almost fight and jostle with one another in order to catch the drops of water that fall from his elbow and his limbs. When he issues a command, every one of them rushes forth to fulfill and do his bidding. This was the first sign of Iman in Urwah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, because he later to become Muslim. What he saw as Hudaybiyah astounded him. And this Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, despite his simplicity, despite his lack of protocol, despite his lack of airs and finesse, despite pomp and glory, despite lack of pomp and glory, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum revered him in such a way, this they could only do to a man who was from Allah, sent by Allah, and a man of Allah. And Urwah ibn Mas'ud told his people that you should be careful and you should try to understand the man that you are facing. This was the love of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And indeed, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were being tortured, one Sahabi radiallahu anhum was captured and he was about to be executed by the mushrikeen of Quraysh, and one of them cheekily said to him, "Wouldn't you wish that Muhammad would be suffering in your place rather than you?" The Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, "By Allah, I would rather tolerate this and all that I have been through than the thought of one thorn pricking the foot of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." That was the love of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And the love wasn't just reverence. Remember, there's a difference between respecting and revering someone, submitting to their commands, doing their bidding, following their will, obeying them. Sometimes this can be done and accomplished through sheer force, through brute force, by subjugation. But no. We are to, first of all, respect and obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the sense that he is our leader, our prophet. To obey him is to obey Allah. To disobey him is to disobey Allah. And there are many verses of the Quran that speak of that. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys a messenger, he has obeyed Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not permissible for any believing man or woman, once Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam have decreed a matter, that they have any choice in the affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then he has erred, a clear error. In another verse, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Name by your Lord, addressing the Prophet of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nay, by your Lord, they will never believe until they make you the arbitrator in their mutual disputes. Then, once you have issued a command, once you have passed judgment, they harbour or feel no reservation at your judgment. And until they do not submit completely and totally, they will never become believers. There are many verses throughout the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O believers, O those who have believed, respond to the call, respond to that. Respond to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they call you to that which shall give you life. And in another verse, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ أَن يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. When the believers are called to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that they may judge between them, their only response should be, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We have heard and we have obeyed. But these verses speak about submission, about obedience, about respect, respect of the law, authority and command of the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And undoubtedly, anyone who rejects that or even doubts part of it becomes a kafir. But the love we are talking here is beyond just simple respect, submission and even reverence. The love we are talking here is that kind of love that surpasses and transcends even the kind of love that a mother feels for the baby in her womb. That a father feels for the baby that he cradles in his arms, that is his flesh and blood. This love should surpass even that emotional love that a person feels when he looks upon the face of his mother who brought him into this world. That's the kind of emotional love that is being referred to here. Not submission to his authority. That is a foregone conclusion. One should have such love in his heart that indeed, well, that makes him think of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. That makes the Prophet of Allah more beloved to him than his own children, than his own flesh and blood, than the whole of mankind, even more dear to him than his own soul. And that kind of love was demonstrated by the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. On many different occasions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhum didn't just believe in the Prophet of Allah, he loved him. And to what an extent? Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Mecca, once publicly spoke about Islam. And the mushrikeen, despite the fact that he was a man of honor, of standing in the Quraysh, the mushrikeen fell upon him, beating him until he was left unconscious and bleeding. His family members carried him home. And there he remained unconscious all day long. When, towards sunset in the evening, he finally opened his eyes after the tender care and nursing of his mother, as soon as he opened his eyes, the first words that came out of his mouth were, "How is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" His family members, extended family members, had been watching over him all day long. And many of them were still, most of them were still disbelievers. When they stood all day long, caring for him, nursing him, only to see him as soon as he opened his eyes, asked about the very man whom they loathed and whom they all believed had got him into such trouble, they walked out and stormed off in disgust. Only a few members of the family remained with him. His mother tried to console him, but he would constantly repeat, "Where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is he?" His mother tried to feed him. He said, "No. First show me the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will not eat a single morsel of food until I have beholden the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my own eyes in safety." Finally, they took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was in Darul Arqam, the house of Arqam, with a few companions. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated there with a few of his companions in secret. And when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was brought to him, as soon as he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rushed forward and embraced the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and clung on to him, both he and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, weeping inconsolably, and all the companions who were there with them. That was a love, the emotional love that the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Battle of Uhud, one Ansariya Sahabiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was in Medina. After the Battle of Uhud, the news had spread throughout Medina that many of the Sahaba had been injured, many had been killed in battle. Many of them came out onto the streets to receive the wounded and the returning army. One Ansariya Sahabiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, I believe her name was Umm Atiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She inquired about her family members. No, sorry, she didn't inquire about her family members. She inquired about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone approached her and told her, Umm Atiyah, your husband has been killed in battle. She uttered, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and how is the Prophet of Allah? She was told, your father has also been killed in battle. She said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and how is the Prophet of Allah? She said, both of your sons have also died in battle. She said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and how is the Messenger of Allah? She was told, he is alive, well and safe. She said, I will not rest until I have seen him. She was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as she saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she exclaimed, Ya Rasulullah, every worry of mine has been removed, and every grief of mine has been dispelled with my eyes falling upon you. That was the love of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They would not tolerate any discomfort for the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It's related by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan, and also by Abu Dawood, that there was a blind Sahabi radiallahu anhu who had an Ummul Walad, a concubine, but she had also given birth to his children, meaning he was a father of her children. He loved her, but he was blind. But even in Medina, she was a disbeliever. Either she was a disbeliever, she was a disbeliever. And occasionally she would recite poetry, satirizing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and abusing him. He would plead with her to stop, but he wouldn't. She wouldn't. One day, she again began reciting some poetry. Sahabi radiallahu anhu stood up and killed her. Sometime later, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated in a gathering, and that Sahabi was there, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that I have heard, news has reached me of this death, and I ask in the name of Allah that the one who is guilty and responsible, he should stand up, for I have a right over him. Sahabi radiallahu anhu stood up. Being blind, he groped his way forward and came and sat before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and according to one narration, he was weeping, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I am the one responsible, but the reason is, this woman, she is the mother of my two children who are like pearls, and I loved her dearly, and she was extremely kind to me. But O Prophet of Allah, she would never refrain from satirizing you in poetry, and I could no longer bear it unless I took her life. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made all of those who were witnesses, all of those who were present witnesses, that no further action should be taken against him. There have been many examples. The disbelievers cannot understand why Muslims would be enraged when accursed people like Salman Rushdie and others satirize, abuse and vilify the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it's only those who understand the depth of this love for the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that will really understand why. The love of Allah and Rasul, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and above everything else, is an essential and integral part of iman. Without it, one's iman is deficient. In fact, one's iman is in doubt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, say that if your parents and your children and your brothers and your partners and your families and that wealth which you have acquired and that business whose loss you fear, and those homes that you have become content with, if all of these things are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait until the punishment of Allah arrives. The love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be overriding for the believer. In the next hadith, which Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi enlists under the chapter Babu Halawat al-Iman, hadith number 16, before that the chapter heading Babu Halawat al-Iman, chapter on the sweetness of Iman. وعنه رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثلاث من كن فيه وجد حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وإن يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله وإن يكره أن يعود في الكفر كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. It's related from the same Sahabi Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, three things which if found in a person, through them he will taste the sweetness of Iman. One, that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to him than everything else. Secondly, that he loves a man, he loves him only for the sake of Allah. And thirdly, he resents the thought of returning to disbelief as much as he dislikes the thought of being flung into the fire. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of the sweetness of Iman. If someone has three traits in him, then because of them, he will genuinely taste the sweetness of Iman in his heart. And the meaning, the sweetness of Iman, is that his religion, his devotion to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his commitment to faith, his sacrifices for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his struggle for the sake of religion, his suffering, calamities and misfortunes that may befall him, hardship that he may face in the process of all of this, all of these things become easy and extremely tolerable for him. In fact, to him they mean nothing because of his overriding love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith which he actually tastes in his heart, the tranquility and serenity that descends upon his soul. None of these things affect him. And he will love standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hours on end. Where others see pain, he sees pleasure. Where others see suffering, he sees comfort. Where others see deprivation, he sees wealth and richness. For as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wealth is not the excess of belongings and possessions in one's hand. Rather, wealth is the wealth of the heart. And therefore, where others see poverty, he sees riches. Where others see deprivation, he sees wealth. And where others see suffering, he sees comfort. Where others see pain, he sees pleasure. And this can only be achieved in Iman, just as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt, if he has these three traits in him. One, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to him than everything else. I said everything else because here it's not just a question of people. Mimma siwahuma, not mimman siwahuma. Not everybody else besides Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, everything else besides Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, whether it's to do with people, whether it's to do with things, whether it's to do with anything tangible or abstract, anything or anyone, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to him than all of this. This is a very difficult stage to reach in one's faith, in one's religion. But the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum demonstrated it. For them, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mattered more than everything else in their lives. Some would say even more than their own children. And they would not stand with, they would not align themselves with anyone who opposed Allah and His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says at the end of Surah Al-Mujadala, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءُهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءُهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, never will you find a people who believe in Allah and in the final day, befriending those who oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though these opponents may be their own fathers, their children, their brothers, or their own families. Why? Because Allah has engraved iman in the hearts of these people. And Allah has strengthened them with the spirit from Himself. This was the level of iman in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Nothing would stand between them and Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One son of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who later became a believer, but in the Battle of Badr, was still with the mushrikeen of Quraysh. After he became a believer, he once said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, Father, in the battle, I almost overpowered you. I was in such a position that if I was to strike one blow, I could have killed you. You came under my sword. But my love for you as a son came in the way, and I spared your life. But you didn't realize. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, he said, oh my son, if it had been the other way around, that you came beneath my sword, and I had an opportunity to kill you, my paternal love for you would not have come in the way. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the hypocrites in Medina, he blasphemed and uttered some very offensive words about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah quotes in Surah Al-Munafiqun, يَقُولُونَ لَئِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةَ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلَ. The hypocrites say that if we return to Medina, the one who is full of honor shall expel from the city he who is base and low. And Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was referring to himself as being the one of honor, and he was referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the one who was base and low. And this was in one of the campaigns on the return to Medina, on the journey, when they camped. This is what he said to some of his cronies. When word spread throughout the camp and throughout the Muslims, this is what Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul has said. And he was a hypocrite. His son, whose name was also Abdullah, the son of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the love of Allah. This was the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to him, O Prophet of Allah, all the tribes of Medina know that in the whole of Medina there is no son more loyal, more faithful to his father than I am to my father. But O Prophet of Allah, you have only as much as to signal, and I shall present my father's head in your lap. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, leave. When the army returned to Medina, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he arrived, some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were already entering the city. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul had reached the gates of the city before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived there. His own son Abdullah, also his name, he reached his father and he told his father to dismount. And then he told his father, you said that you, once you return to the city of Medina, you, the one of honor, will drive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is base and low, from the city. He said, by Allah, I will not allow you to enter the city until you retract your words. And there, in full view of all of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who were passing by in a file and entering the city, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul was groveling on his knees. under the sword of his own son, who was forcing him to repent and to retract his words. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, and he was saying, indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi is the one of honor and I am the one who is base and low. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi arrived and he saw his son doing this to his father, he said, oh Abdullah, leave him, leave him. Abdullah bin Ubay ibn Salul left his father and obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that was the love of the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, for Allah, his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing came in the way. So only when a person reaches a stage when nothing is more beloved to him than Allah and his Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, only then will he taste the sweetness of Iman in his heart. We who love our wealth, our belongings, our possessions, our comfortable lives, our homes, this transient life of the dunya, we who love our family, our own children more than Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so that in our own family we see the disobedience of Allah. We see a rebellion against religion. We see Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being mocked by our own family members because they refuse to obey his commandments. We see them abandoning salah, abandoning siyam, abandoning Ramadan, etc. Yet we still feel that affinity, love and loyalty to them. And yet at the same time we pledge and claim loyalty to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should know where our priorities lie. The second trait and characteristic with which a person can taste the sweetness of Iman in his heart is that he loves a man, he loves him only for the sake of Allah. He is not selfish in his motives. He has no ulterior motive in befriending someone. But all his relationships are based only on Allah, on the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He seeks no gain. He has no ulterior motive. He is not insincere. But his friendship, his love and loyalty is genuine to his fellow Muslim. He loves him only because he is his brother in religion. Once a person learns to love another Muslim only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then will he reach that degree of faith whereby he will taste the sweetness of Iman in his heart. I won't elaborate on this because I've spoken on this issue before, and the first one. And finally, وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفْ فِي النَّارِ, that the third trait with which he shall taste the sweetness of Iman in his heart is that he dislikes the thought of returning to disbelief. And in one narration of the same hadith, بَعْدَ أَنْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ, after Allah has delivered him from it, after Allah has saved him from kufr, he dislikes the idea of disbelief, of returning to kufr, once Allah has saved him from it, as much as he fears, resents and dislikes the thought of being flung and burnt in the fire. And in one narration of the hadith, the words are that he, to him, kufr, disbelief, is as detestable, in fact no, to him, being flung into the fire is more tolerable than returning to kufr and disbelief after Allah has saved him from it. I.e. in the dunya, if he is given a choice between death or disbelief, he will choose death over disbelief. If he is compelled to renounce his faith, he will not swerve or sway, but he will remain steadfast in his religion, and he will prefer death over disbelief. Even if it means being flung into the fire, if some tyrant chooses to punish him, instructs him to renounce his faith upon the pain of death, upon the pain of being flung into the fire, he would rather suffer than give up his faith for the sake of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the third trait. I wanted to elaborate on this, but one, I'm not feeling well, and secondly, there's no time. وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
This lecture was given by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyad al-Haq and has been presented to you by the Islamic Sharia Institute. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121 773 5191, or alternatively by post at the Islamic Sharia Institute, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10 0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website www.sharia-institute.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.